Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Let's talk about our first Roto mock draft of the year next on Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. Welcome into FBT in 5. As always, make sure to follow and stream us on Spotify. Today is Wednesday, January 26th. I am Frank Stanfield, joined by Scott White. And these guys, Scott and Chris Towers, they did a 12-team Roto mock draft with the traditional 5x5 categories. You can find the link in the podcast description. But let's take a look at Scotty's team. And in his first 5 picks, 4 of those were hitters. Mike Trout, Freddie Freeman, Austin Riley, and Pete Alonso. Scott, did you have a specific strategy when coming into the draft, specifically when it comes to offense?
When it comes to offense, I want a lot of home runs in 5x5 leagues. I want to make sure I'm mostly devoting my early round picks to that, and I think I did. That's a category where if you don't end up with enough home runs, you could really be hurting in RBI and runs as well. Plus, the early round home run hitters generally give you a nice foundation in batting average. What I was intentionally not targeting was stolen bases. I'm kind of in these roto leagues going with what I'll call the zero SB strategy, which doesn't mean I'm punting the category. I'm just acknowledging that it doesn't take much to finish in the middle of the pack in the category. So you don't want to inflate a player, particularly if it's like a 15 to 20 steal guy. You don't want to inflate his value based on that and end up costing you in the other categories. There, you will happen into a certain number of stolen bases without trying that hard for it. And it very likely will put you in a position to finish in the middle of the pack. And I think based on the way this draft turned out, it kind of supported that theory.
All right. So yeah, you wound up with a lot of power, as we mentioned. How about the pitching? How did the pitching turn out? Let's specifically look at your starting pitchers. You took Sandy Alcantara at the end of round 3. You took Charlie Morton at the beginning of round 6. Frankie Montas at the end of round 7. Framber Valdez at the start of round 14. Adam Wainwright in round 15. And then Zach Greinke in round 22. What do you think about your pitching, Scott, the way that it turned out? Do you think it's adequate enough?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, I'm higher than the consensus on Charlie Morton. I really don't understand the skepticism surrounding him. So I see him as like a round 4 pitcher that I got in round 6. I have him and Sandy Alcantara in the same tier. I think Frankie Montas, I have him a tier lower, but he showed that kind of upside over the final 3 months last year as well. Had a swinging strike rate on par with like Max Scherzer, an ERA in the low 2s for that backstretch of the season. I think there's enough high end types there. I like that I got innings eaters who will likely help in WHIP or ERA, if not both, in the case of Adam Wainwright. I mean, part of the struggle with strikeouts, you know, is just getting a pitcher who gives you enough innings to give you a respectable total in that category. Forget the rate, the K per 9 or whatever. And I think Adam Wainwright is well suited for that. I think Framber Valdez is well suited for that. Zach Greinke could be as well. And I think maybe people are writing him off too quickly. Obviously didn't invest much in him. In an ideal world, I would have gotten 7 of my top 55 starting pitchers. I ended up with only 6. But that's because I liked the value of some of the lower end closers, or at least projected closers, and ended up with 3 of those to fill only 9 pitcher spots.
Yeah, let's talk about those closers. For once, Scott, this is so weird. You didn't punt closer. I feel like, what's going on? Did someone take over Scott's body here? But you get Craig Kimbrel in round 13, Camilo Duvall round 16, and Scott Barlow in round 21. Again, you didn't really invest much, and you wound up with a decent crop of relievers here.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible none of them ends up being a closer for long. I mean, Craig Kimbrel, obviously, we're waiting for the White Sox to trade him to a team that can use him as a closer. But it sounds like that's the expectation before the start of the season. And if that's the case, then, you know, he's potentially a top 5 closer. He's still has great stuff. Yeah, Duvall, Barlow, they were their team's closers at the end of last season. Barlow for a nice long stretch. And, you know, the bottom line is I don't feel like I paid up for them. There is volatility with every save source. But as long as you're not reaching for it, it's just the cost of doing business, Frank.
Yeah. Look, either way, you got to wind up with saves. You draft some of them, or you take some shots throughout the draft, or you're going to be spending up fab or your waiver wire claims. No matter what, yeah. I mean, you've got to wind up with some. You don't want zero,
I just don't want to invest much of. I just don't want to invest much in them one way or another. I don't feel like I invested much in them. I invested some draft capital, but not much draft capital. And to get three projected closers, you know, I feel good about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. For more extensive fantasy baseball coverage, and specifically on this draft, you can listen to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, your smart speakers, or anywhere else podcasts are found. And thanks for listening to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.